Afternoon, you are listening to Verulam Sport, and if you've been listening to Verulam Sport over this autumnal period, you would have heard the mighty Sarah McKenna describe a wonderful campaign for the Red Roses of England women's rugby team. They've won 5 from 5. That's a grand slam. 45 tries they accrued, 278 points across the tournament, and she's back to review. Sarah McKenna, welcome back as always to Verulam Sport. How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Bit tired after a long 8 weeks, but ready to go again for Saracens this afternoon.
It's no rest indeed for the proverbial wicked. Accordingly, you must be incredibly naughty, young lady, I tell you. But there we go. But just before we chat, Saracens, remaining top of the Verulam League there. It's what a season it has been for the Red Roses. You know, again, obviously the first year of professionalism, I guess that kind of told. I think it's important that women's rugby stands alone, but I think it's also a fair statement to say, basically showing the men how it's done. Grand slam banked.
Yeah, obviously got 5 wins under our belt, and it's really good to sort of be taking home that trophy. Obviously kept an eye on the men's competition throughout. Obviously they couldn't get some vital victories and sort of pull it together at the right times. But no, we had a really great campaign and just built through each game. And obviously the big one at the end against Scotland, you know, it was a culmination of all of our performances put together, erased lots of errors that we've made previously, and got like a huge win at Twickenham in front of a great crowd.
80 points to nil against the old enemy in Scotland. 12 try rout, culminating in a grand slam for Team England Red Rose. I mean, that's the stuff that dreams are made of. That's why you put the grind in this professional era, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously, it's so much hard work put in, you know, with a huge squad, you know, behind the scenes doing loads and loads of work. No, obviously not just the 8 weeks of hard work, lots of work put in for it. And, you know, the Tyrrells Premiership is so strong at the moment. And that's, you know, part of the reason why we got such great results in the Six Nations, was that the Premiership is so competitive. And I think, you know, sometimes that was the difference between us and our opponents, is that we knew what to do at those vital times when it got tough, when the heat was on. You know, we experienced that week in, week out in the Tyrrells Premiership. So, you know, we were well used to those situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's really told on the park throughout a gruelling Six Nations campaign. 12 try rout over Scotland, 45 tries across the tournament, which is amazing. But you mentioned the key word there for me, from chatting to you throughout the campaign, is squad. Not just the squad that can be rotated and you don't lose a beat, but behind the scenes, the people that kind of, you know, the unsung heroes. But I was always kind of advocating the devil, thinking, look, you've got a winning team, keep it. Surely that's one of the truisms of sports. But you guys think bigger, don't you? It's a bigger picture. You're working towards that goal, World Cup coming up pretty soon. And again, it's crucial that players are able to step up to the mark when they do don that white rose, either as a starter or a member of the squad.
Yeah, massively. You know, we have people come into the squad, some, you know, on their first cap. Two being from Saracens, we had Rosie Gallagher and Bryony Cleal, both starting in the Ireland game, the first game of the Six Nations. So, you know, those girls came in and it was an absolutely seamless transition when they did come into the England squad. You know, they weren't out of place at all, and it was a completely seamless, like I said. So, you know, that's credit to the work that they're doing at club. And also, you know, at England, you know, people coming in, being taught, you know, what to do, being really welcomed within, you know, there's none of that sort of, you know, earning your stripes anymore. People are respected for what they do on the field. And those girls really bought it when they came in. And just throughout the campaign, obviously, injuries come at crucial times and people being able to slot in and come out again. And it not to be a big, you know, throw up in the air that everything's gone wrong, everything's, you know, everything's ruined, that people just came in, slotted in seamlessly. And it just meant that our campaign, you know, didn't falter.
Absolutely, and again, the proof is in the proverbial pudding. What a tournament, what a result, what a campaign. And it doesn't end. Obviously, we'll chat Saracens now, back to the grind, the competitive grind that is the Tyrrells Premiership. But just want to think with my England hat on a moment, going into the summer. It sounds a fascinating tournament over in the States, spreading the global world and the global sport of rugby union, certainly from a female perspective, out in San Diego against basically the best teams on planet Earth. New Zealand, ranked one. Canada, who won this round-robin tournament last time out, it was held in 2016. USA, who are very competitive too, and France in the mix in this round-robin event. It's a little way away, June, July time. It sounds like a lot of fun, but this is going to be a real acid test, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be an absolutely massive tournament. You know, like you said, those teams are extremely competitive. I think, you know, you've got teams perhaps 1 to 5 ranked in the world at the moment in that tournament. So it's going to be really hard. It's, you know, it's sort of going to be similar to a World Cup in the fact that, you know, every game is crucial. You can't switch off for a single game. So it's going to be really tough over, you know, I think 3 weeks. So you're going to have to, like I said, have a great squad where players can come in seamlessly and, you know, take over the reins. So, yeah, it's going to be really tough, really, really, really competitive. And, you know, a lot of our training with England will be with our sights set on that.
And I look forward to hearing about that into the summer. Just a few weeks after that is, of course, September, the Rugby World Cup from a men's perspective. Sarah, I don't want to obviously dissect the negatives. It's all about being positive. But as a fan, that Scotland game was freakish. To me, England, still on their day, are world beaters. I don't think there's a doubt in anybody's head about that. But it seems to me, while you guys in the women's side of things have this wonderful momentum, at the moment, England, from a male perspective in rugby union, have kind of lost the killer touch. Is that something that can be refound in time for September's Rugby World Cup?
Yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? Just when you think they're sort of on a roll, you know, with that France game, with that Ireland game, you know, what happened at the weekend happened, and, you know, sort of all faith lost temporarily, and everyone starts thinking, oh God, this World Cup's going to be terrible, you know, what are they going to do? But no, it's, you know, I think it's a temporary glitch for them. Just maybe some fundamental things went wrong. They lost the momentum in the game, and, you know, big lessons to be learned. So no, obviously, you know, lots to work on, but I think, you know, it's a long time away. They can sort of put down their prem shirts for that time period over the summer and really work, you know, as a squad with England. And I think that'll be a really good time where they build, and sort of things that crept up in that Scotland game won't happen again.
I mean, lessons will be learnt, no doubt about it. I'm excited, as I say. I there's so many world-class players in that England 15, no doubt about it. But my concern, and I wonder what your take in this coming from a culture of winning, is that it seemed to me that there was a lack of leaders. And I'm not just talking about Farrell, who's world class. I'm talking about, I think back to the 2003 winning World Cup team. And, you know, irrespective that Johnson lifted the tournament, the trophy aloft, so many men there, Delalio, Neil Back, Richard Hill, quiet as he was, but just doing it on the pitch, letting his deeds do the talking. Beyond that, the likes of Green. Greenwood. What I'm saying is, it oozed leaders who didn't have to be a captain. And I'm not entirely sure world-class players across the England 15 that they have that same type of follow me when it gets down and dirty type of quality at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think perhaps a couple of those players, you know, like the Delalio sorts, are perhaps two years behind, perhaps where ideally they would be in a World Cup cycle. You know, the likes of Wilson coming on and playing so well, and people like that who could really be those players for them, perhaps are just a little bit late to the party when it comes to perhaps taking those roles. But like I said, you know, loads of work can be done with that.
Indeed.
So, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see how that evolves. You know, they've got a few games over the summer, which will be a bit of a litmus test. So that'll be interesting to watch. But no, obviously, everyone's really excited about what they're going to do, and when they do show those displays of brilliance, you know, that one of the most incredible teams in the world at the moment, the way that Johnny May's finishing and some of the stuff that they've put out of the bag. So no, it's sort of perhaps that's what the you know, World Cup team than three lacks. So perhaps where this team, you know, can make up for it. So, you know, you're looking at tipping the scales, which way is it going to go?
And again, for me, this is a very open tournament. New Zealand will be favourites, but I don't think they've got that kind of aura that they've had recently. I think on any given day, any one of six teams genuinely will feel like, hey, if we get the rub, if we get rolling, then we can do it. And that makes for exciting times. Anyway, coming back to the mighty Red Roses, we'll chat Saracens just briefly. But just coming back to the Red Roses, Sarah, I know loads of people have been loving the podcast and loving hearing you talk. Where can we go for more information about this Grand Slam winning team?
Yeah, I think if you go to Instagram, it's one of the best places to go. Obviously, keep up to date with our social media stuff. If you want news, go to the England Rugby webpage, and obviously that'll keep you updated. But then obviously people's individual Instagrams, just to laugh at people doing funny things and stupid things, and go there if that's what you want.
But again, it's all part of the mix. You need to have that light relief in what is an intense period. I think you got the balance completely right. Anyway, what's going to be intense today, though? I'm sure you're already excited. Heading up to, as Saracens are, to Loughborough Lightning. Seven of the Grand Slam winning team, rather, return to Saracens fold. But there's three England stars for the Loughborough Lightning. First versus third. It's going to be a juicy one today, isn't it? Goodness me.
Yeah, it's a lot of prep's gone into this game. We know how sort of crucial it is, especially in terms of where it makes us finish in the campaign. You know, whether it means that we get a home semi-final is really crucial to us. So, no, it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, the players that they do have are in, you know, fundamental positions. You've got Katie McLean at 10, who obviously pulled the strings throughout the Six Nations. And then you've got Emmy Scarrett at fullback, who obviously her kicking game is absolutely killer sometimes, so she can really put you under pressure and really really control the territory in the game. So they're going to be, you know, two huge players for them. But like I said, we've got fantastic forwards to take us, you know, over game line, get the momentum rolling. So obviously we have been away from each other for a little while, but it does help knowing that you've been playing with each other, you know, with the Red Roses over the past few weeks. So whether, you know, we're wearing a red shirt or a white shirt, we can look to each other and sort of know what's going on, and it won't seem so alien being back in the Premiership.
That trust and that confidence that winning breeds is, tell you what, if you could bottle it, you'd make yourself a fortune, Sarah. But there we go. I'm very confident for Saracens this afternoon. Have a really good trip up to the East Midlands. Look forward to keeping in touch with you. And I just salute you. It was great to hear from you all Six Nations. And what an epic one it was. And I just feel as though we're at the kind of the beginnings of what will be a huge global explosion in the female version of rugby union. And I just think it must be awesome to be a pioneer accordingly, Sarah. Thank you for all your time and insights.
Thank you. Can I just say thank you for all your interest and keeping up to date with all that we're doing. I know that when I talk to you, sometimes I learn new facts that I didn't even know about my own game. So you've been keeping me on my toes. So thank you for the interest, and thank you for keeping everyone updated.
Do you know what? I'm really, really humbled for those lovely words. Have yourself a great rest of the day. Good luck, as I've said, and I look forward to catching up with you again very soon. Thank you, as
Thanks,
always.
Danny. See ya.